Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. This is the Three Good Things Podcast. I'm your old pal, Rob, and today, I hope your day is going well. I hope your day is going as well as it possibly can. I'm out in the world doing the things that I do for the people that I do it, and quite frankly, I'm a little tired today. I'm a little worn out, a little, oh, what's the best word? Exhausted, I think. That's probably the best word. But it's okay, because there's always tomorrow. We'll get through today and see what happens tomorrow. Today's episode, though, we're going to talk anxiety. Now, when we talk about anxiety, you can watch a million videos and listen to a million podcasts and all of that. You can do all of that stuff. You can. And it's fine that you do if you want. Nothing wrong with it. But and all about anxiety. You can sort things out left and right all day long and try to figure out what anxiety actually means. But to me, and I've done that because I didn't understand a lot of why people were anxious so often. It didn't really ring true to me. But then I found out, discovered through my various listenings and readings and education that really anxiety is nothing more than the alarm bells for whatever it is that's going wrong in your life. So, you know, if you have an alarm in your house that senses someone breaking in, it goes off and alerts you to someone breaking in. If you have a fire alarm in your house or a smoke alarm, it alerts you to the presence of smoke and potential fire. Your body has this too. In fact, it could not survive without it. Or it wouldn't have anyway over the course of all of these years, right? Over the course of evolution, you would not have evolved without anxiety. Because if you had, you wouldn't, is the point. It is the precursor to, the three F's. The fight, flight, or freak out, right? So, when I say freak out, I mean freeze. It's just, I use those words a little bit differently, right? So, when I say it's the alert system, it's the alarm bells, it just means you have to figure out what is actually wrong in your life and do your best to fix whatever that is. Right? And so you might not know exactly what's wrong with your life. You might not have given it a second thought. You just might be like, money's bad, or my relationship is bad, or all of these things. You might have a myriad of things that are compiling to bring you that anxiety, right? And the more that you discuss it, the more you talk about how anxious you are and how overwhelmed you are, the more you talk about it and you don't do anything, it becomes a habit. You hear what I'm saying here? You may be in your house and you may notice a light haze of smoke, but your smoke alarm's not going off. Nobody's cooking, but it's okay. You might mute that alarm. You might make it go quiet. You might take the battery out. Quiet all the alarms. That doesn't make the fire go away. You got to find out where the smoke is coming from. So when you do that, when you address the problem, the anxiety minimizes. It will not go away, nor should it. You don't want it to. What you want is for the anxiety to exist peacefully, coexist with all of your other emotions and all of the other alarm bells that keep you directly connected to your body, yourself, your surroundings. You want your fight or flight to work. You want your system to respond to danger and to fear and to worry and to all of that. That's what you want. Excuse me. You don't want to be completely dead, and you don't want to be constantly on edge. You don't want to be a jittery mess, an anxious mess. You don't want to be either one. But what we've done, what we seem to do, is the two things that are the worst for us. First of all, we see anxiety, or we believe anxiety is a thing that exists on its own. It's not. It is a response to stimulus. And part of the problem becomes the what's the word I'm looking for? Part of the problem becomes your brain sort of continually replays all the bad things that have ever happened to you, and you get to the point where you are anxious about being anxious, and you create a habit of anxiety. That means you're hypervigilant for certain things, you're scared of certain things, you're looking out for certain things constantly, and you don't want to fix those things because your brain has determined that this keeps you the safest. And because it keeps you safe, it also keeps your body safe and your brain safe, which means the brain keeps itself safe. Okay? And so when we're in a discussion about those things, when we talk about those things, what we really are talking about is you remaining safe in a dangerous situation. And the reason that you're able to is because your body's in a constant state of repair, right? So your body will fix whatever the problem is. Your body will look at whatever the problem is and try to fix whatever that problem is. It won't necessarily always be able to do that, right? But it's the point. It's why you have these systems. It's why these systems exist. It's the reason that it's the reason that the body does what it does. Your body's not there to make you happy. That's not what it's ever going to do. Your body is going to keep itself safe. And your brain is going to keep itself safe. You're never going to be safe. You're never going to be happy. That's not the point. The point is safe. And if safe means constantly vigilant, constantly on edge, constantly worried, forever nervous about every little thing that happens, and what are the implications of X, Y, and Z? Well, you'll never really know what those things are, because you're going to be a disaster looking for them all the time. You're going to be a hot wreck, and for no good reason. I'm going to say it again, for no good reason. So the point here is to say that we every day, every time we turn around, every day, every night, every aspect, every road we turn down, everything that we do is put together in such a way that we maintain our back and forth about it. We maintain our relationship to it. And what we seem to be doing is making ourselves anxious just for the sake of being anxious, just nervous for the sake of being nervous. And that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But yet, here we are, we're doing it. We're doing it all the time. We do it to each other. We do it to ourselves. We do it to other people. And we do it because our brain tells us to. And eventually, it will become that thing which we repeatedly do is a habit. And when we repeatedly remain hypervigilant, when we repeatedly worry about every small thing that could happen, when we continually worry and put that anxiety on ourselves, what happens to us? We become anxious all the time. That becomes our personality. That becomes the anxiety turns social, or the anxiety turns. I mean, it's preposterous what happens, and it's unnecessary. So you have to figure out what it is that happens, right? So you have to figure out what it is that is causing your anxiety, and you have to address or try to address or begin to address, whether that means professional help, whether that means talking to somebody that you love, it doesn't make a difference. You have to figure out what those things are that are making you anxious, and then deal with those, making you fearful, making you nervous, making you afraid. What about that? What's happening there? So that's the question. What's the answer? Then when you find the answer, that's when you'll know. That's when you will begin to feel your anxiety release and get smaller and smaller and smaller. But until then, I think, and this is my experience, and this is of the things that I've, of the people and things that I've read and the experts that I've listened to, there's a lot, you can listen to a million different reasons, biochemical reasons and all of that. And you can do some of those things. You can do some of the breathing tricks. You know, you can do the 4-7-8 breathing. You can do the box breathing. You can do all of these things. And you still might not fix the problem. Well, you won't fix the problem because you're not dealing with the root cause. But if you deal with the root cause, the anxiety itself eventually will dissipate. And I said, it won't ever go away 100%. You don't want it to. But also, you want to be conscious of your existence and anxiety. In this case, I'm not a religious person in a lot of ways, but the Buddhists have it right. Whether you will live or you will die, it doesn't matter. Don't worry, because you can't change. The things you can control, control. But if it's out of your control, it's out of your control. And so it may be uncomfortable to do that. It may be uncomfortable to negate that process, but that's the thing that's going to make you happy, and it will break the habit of anxiety in your life. And I'm not suggesting or even hinting at the idea that this is easy. It's fucking not. But you only get so many turns around the sun before this is over. And the more that you've had, the less that you get. And the more time you spend anxious, the more time you spend nervous, the less happy you're going to be with everyone. And here's the other thing. If you're in a situation you don't like, but you're kind of stuck there because of certain circumstances or whatever, you can also find peace there. I know it sounds crazy, and it is, but you can make the decision to find peace in misery if, here's what I'll tell you, if Elie Wiesel, if Viktor Frankl can look inwardly as they lived through concentration camps, you can suck it up at that job for another week, month, 6 months, whatever, until you find that thing that you're looking for. But until you start looking, the anxiety fucking stays there. And so you have to do things. You have to act to fix the problem. And that's the only way. The only way to fix it is to take action against it. And the only way to take action against it is to realize what it is and then move on whatever you find. So anxiety is an alarm bell. It's not a disease necessarily. It's not a disorder. But it exists. And how you fix it? Yeah, that's how. That's how you fix it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you very much for your time this day. I appreciate every one of you for the time you take listening to me, talking to me, for your feedback, for all of those things that make this a little fun little exercise that I'm able to do. And I hope very much that you are having the best possible day, and that you are as happy as you can possibly be in your life. And if you're not, I hope my assessment, my advice, it's not medical. Don't pretend to be medical. It's not psychological. It's just observational. These are just things that I've observed. And I hope it has some benefit to you, because that is the point of my life, is to be of service to as many people as I possibly can. So, thank you very much for your time today. Have an excellent day and an excellent week, and I hope to talk to you very soon. Be excellent to each other. Bye-bye.